Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The Fairly Odd Parents parent wants to grow a new television venture. First step, raise $250,000 by mid-July through Kickstarter. Get the full story on Oaxis Entertainment when Butch Hartman joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. 100 Code airs its second month on WGN America tomorrow night with a two-episode installment. We'll catch up with this crime drama next half hour with Oscar-winning developer, executive producer, and director Bobby Moresco. Also ahead, BET Pickings, Showtime's new Roger Ailes, and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of next month's New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the program All About Television. 79 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. We have a three-episode week coming your way, and we think we've got one of the best guest lineups for a week we have ever had. We have an Oscar-winning person later this half hour, later this hour. We have an Emmy Award-winning person on Friday. We have iconic people all week long, new players in television, and a lot of things all along the way. So we're happy you're with us. Tell folks you know to be with us today, Wednesday and Friday at this very hour. We think it's time very well spent. And we invite you, as always, be part of the program All About Television. How do you do that? You raise your voice, you pick up the phone, and you give us a call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open for business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. Butch Hartman is live with us from California, internet radio exclusive, after these news notes. The 2018 American Black Film Festival wrapped up with BET selecting three series pilot scripts to be developed through Issa Rae's Color Creative Venture. They are African American by Courtney Purdue and Bayoudou Sailou, Curves by April Blair, and The Good Book by Danielle Brown. Separately, Turner, that's TBS and TNT, awarded $500 each to a pair of talented new writers, also for TV pilots, Craig Williams for Allergic and Terrence Moore for the drama Uptown. Some quickies for you. Showtime has selected Oscar winner Russell Crowe to play Fox News Channel founder Roger Ailes in an upcoming 8-episode miniseries. Another 8-episode miniseries is ready to roll at Netflix, an unbelievable story of rape starring Toni Collette. And a station group merger is in motion, Gray Television acquiring Raycom Media for $3.6 billion. The deal involves 142 stations in 92 cities throughout the South and Midwest. And that is news notes for today. And our first guest today created one of the most popular and longest-running shows in the history of animated television, The Fairly Odd Parents for Nickelodeon. That's just one of the great credits he has done in a wonderful animated career. And now he is out to cause a new family-friendly plumbing venture called Oaxis Entertainment that hopes to be on the air through smart TV sets and devices next year. Joining us live from California in an internet radio exclusive, the award-winning animator Butch Hartman. Butch, great to have you with us.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys doing today?
Very, very well, thank you, here in New York. A little bit hot, a little bit humid, but bearing up okay. Tell us how you're bearing up with the Kickstarter campaign. Where is it at?
We are doing really good, Simon. I think we're over $48,000 now. We've only been live for about a week. We're doing really great. We're super excited. People are behind us like you can't believe. And the reason we did the Kickstarter campaign, I could have just launched the idea with just press, but I wanted people to be able to be involved as well because my fans I've got so many fans on social media. My YouTube channel's got over 750,000 subscribers, and I have a podcast channel with over 48,000 subscribers, and Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I got over 1 million followers, and everyone's always saying, we want to be involved, we want to be involved. So the Kickstarter is now a chance for them to be involved, and I'm so excited about it.
How long have you thought about doing your own programming service? What was sort of like the blast-off point where you finally said, okay, I'm going forward?
The blast-off point sort of came about a year ago this month, and my wife and I started talking about it. We've been talking about it for many, many years because I've worked in network TV for quite a long time, had a great time, but I've got a lot of vision. I got a lot of dreams, and I really wanted to do more than one thing. And I instead of being a captain of one ship, I've kind of wanted to be an admiral over many. And, you know, I really think there's a lot of things in the family space these days that I think there's a lot of ways the family space can be improved these days. And I'm really excited to, you know, really be another option out there.
By the way, guest 577 has joined our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Thank you for coming aboard. You have a question or a comment for Butch, put it in the room or give us the call, 646-652-2906. You can do that, sooner we hear you. Butch, how do you envision OAXIS? It, from what I understand, it's going to be all sorts of programming, all genres, all family-friendly, animation, live action, comedy, drama, the whole works. And along the way, have you already started to talk to your fellow content creators, other people you've never talked to, producers, other content sources about getting involved with you?
Absolutely. I mean, the exciting thing about this, Simon, is that we are so – I've got so many connections over the years from my time in Hollywood that I've got basically tons of friends who all make content, who all make family-friendly stuff. A lot of big networks are very hard to – it's hard to crack into those networks because they're a little faceless and they're a little – you know, it's just hard to get to know those people sometimes. And with OAXIS, we're going to have a much more – I guess we're going to have a face to our network. It's going to be me, my family. I'm going to be basically the Walt Disney of the thing. When you go onto our platform, you're going to see me hosting it. You'll see some of our characters, some of our actors hosting it. And you can shut us off if you want. You know, we don't need to stay there. But, you know, the way Walt Disney is to host The Wonderful World of Disney, I want people to know who's behind this. I want them to be able to be in contact with us and want them to be able to impart stuff to us if they want to. I mean, this is a network where everybody can be involved. In fact, I'm even adding a user upload feature, almost like a YouTube type of thing, where you can upload a family-friendly video all on your own. If you have something you want to share with the world and make a little money on it as well, you can do that too. But it'll be screened very intensely. We're going to make sure that we don't have just anything airing on this. It's going to be screened very, very highly.
Why did you decide to use Kickstarter as a way to raise money as opposed to other crowdfunding ventures or do what some people are now starting to do, use Bitcoin, Ethereum, other cryptocurrency, possibly with blockchain, to try to get a venture like this off the ground?
That's a very good question. We went with Kickstarter because I've had a lot of other associates have some success with Kickstarter. It was highly recommended. I've seen some great Kickstarters get off the ground. And to be quite honest, it was pretty it was easy to do, relatively. I'm not saying it's super easy, but when you do something like this, you really want to make sure that anyone on board with this can understand the concept, they can get behind it. It's basically just getting your video out there for all to see. And like I said, after the Kickstarter is done, we have a lot more to do too. This isn't just the only funding we're going to need. This was just the way for the crowd to be involved and for the audience to be involved at the beginning. And a lot of people don't have a lot of money to invest. They have a little bit to invest, but they still want to be a part. And Kickstarter is a great way to involve them. Because, you know, there are investors we're going after with, you know, lots of money to do this all the time. But my fans who watch my shows, they can probably only afford $10, $25, $50, and they can do that. They can contribute and they can get a great reward in the process.
OAXIS Entertainment is the new plumbing service. It's out to be caused by our first guest today, Butch Hartman. If you know him, you know him because of the Fairly Odd Parents, the long-running animated series Nickelodeon, or his previous work on Cartoon Network, or other Nickelodeon series like TUFF Puppy and Danny Phantom. Butch joins us live from California this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from the other side of the country, Nueva York. Happy to have you with us. We're simulcasting live on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Butch, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tonight at 8 o'clock, one of the great game shows of all time for kids or anybody, Double Dare, returns on Nickelodeon. And Wednesday on Tomorrow Be Televised, my lead guest will be the person that was one of the keys in making it happen, the original host, and on this version, the executive producer and color commentator, Mark Summers, will be our lead guest. That's right, Mark Summers, live with us Wednesday afternoon on Tomorrow Be Televised. Also on the program, reset from last Friday, we're going live to Australia, and we're going to showcase Dale Beaumont. He is the proprietor of a new plumbing service just started on Apple TV called BizVersity. Think of it as the Business Channel, which gets you into entrepreneurs and other things as well. Mark Summers from Double Dare and Dale Beaumont from BizVersity live from Australia. That's all coming up Wednesday on our special edition of the program, 2 of 3 this week. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Join us. You will not want to miss it, especially with Mark. Good luck with him. And Lisa Koshy, the new host of Double Dare, YouTube star. And again, it's 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern and Pacific, on Nickelodeon. Butch, like many Kickstarter campaigns, are you offering special prizes or special gifts for people who reach a certain level of donation for you?
Oh, absolutely. We start at, even among the lower tiers, very exciting. I'm offering some exclusive phone wallpapers that I draw. My artwork, you can get a wallpaper for $25. I'm giving away some of my books. I'm selling on Amazon. You get some of those. I'm giving away exclusive original drawings. The higher the tiers go up, the more exclusive your drawing can be personalized to you. I'm giving away video art classes. If you want to be involved in an art class with me and some of your friends, you can have a video call with me, and I'll walk you guys through some of the basics of art and cartooning and animation, everything else I know. And if you get to the really high tiers, you can actually be on our shows. You can become a producer on one of our shows, or you can even be part of one of our live-action shows. It's going to be awesome. We're not making family-boring content. This is family-focused content that's going to be awesome. You guys will love it. It'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Once you complete this Kickstarter campaign, Bush, do you have any plans to go to any of the television festivals like New York next month or Series Fest, which is going on right now in Denver, some of the other ones happening this year or next year on a content hunt?
Yeah, we're absolutely going to be going to those places. It's important now to begin building our content base. Listen, we want to compete. Our goal is to compete with people that are already out there, platforms that already exist. We're not going into this with our eyes closed. We know we've got to be high quality. We know we've got to bring things people want to see. But again, it's got to meet our family-focused standards. Well, I believe you can build a network without all the things that are out there now. I think, with things that are happening in the world, a lot of teen suicides are increasing. I think there's a lot of depression that's increasing. And I think it's the influence people are getting through their phones and things that affect these that affect people. We want to make sure that we're giving a positive influence. So we're going to be on the hunt for content that is positive.
With this service, one thing about this service. We're seeing a new, I would say, galaxy of programming services, Butch, use smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Apple TV, Roku, Google Chromecast, etc., as their main distribution point or their key or exclusive distribution point to get to people like you and me. Is that the game plan for OAXIS?
Right now, it's not. Right now, OAXIS is an entity unto itself, and we're going to stay that way because, to be honest with you, I think the more people we get involved with, the more we're going to have to possibly compromise, and I don't want to compromise. Right now, we want to make our own content. We want to acquire the content that we want. Should a bigger platform want to get involved with us, we'll definitely talk to anybody and speak to them. But right now, it's about our vision going forward in the best way possible. And, you know, we're not going into this blind. Like I said, we know that it's a very competitive market, but I got to be honest with you. I think people are going to love our idea. They're going to love our vision and want to experience more of it as they see it.
Mm-hmm. I was raising smart TV sets and smart devices because right now the latest research shows that at least 2/3 of all U.S. households and maybe as many as 3/4 of all U.S. households now possess these sets and devices. And a growing number of them, fast-growing number, have Google Assistant, have Siri, have Alexa, voice controls which allow you to command the television set with your voice, i.e. Siri, show me this episode, or Alexa, order me an Uber ride. So that's why I'm sort of raising the smart TV issue, because we're seeing a lot of these new programming services use these devices and these sets as their sort of way to get distributed to people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, we want to be on the cutting edge of technology. We're not going into this. We're not having 1980s technology. We're going to be right on the edge of what they're doing as well. But like I said, it's all about making sure that we can deliver the best content possible in a competitive way. And we want to make sure that when you tune into OAXIS, you are glad you're there, that you're getting something everybody wants to see, that you're getting something everybody can relate to, and that, you know, just something that's really going to be great. You're going to walk away from it feeling fantastic, and that's where we want to go. That's where we want to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going to say, even though there's all these devices out there, it's ironic that in a world where people are more connected than ever, the family unit is a lot more disconnected than it's ever been. I mean, the average kid gets 5 minutes of face-to-face time with their parents these days, because kids, as they get older, they spend more hours of the day on screens. They go, and by the time they're 18, they spend 9 to 11 hours on a screen.
Well, how do you want your service, since you raised the issue, how do you want your service to address that and turn that environment around?
Well, what I want to do, it's for everybody. I mean, the last thing, you know, when I was a kid, you grew up and you could watch a lot of content with your family. You could gather around and a device, whether it was a TV or a radio or whatever it was, or then it became the VCR, then, you know, now it's the tablets and the phone. You could sit around and watch content with your family. These days, parents will watch one thing, kids will watch another, and there's so many things out there that people really don't like. I can't really put it in an exact way, but like, there's lots of out there that people seem to be watching separately. We want to bring families back together. All Access is all about bringing families back together and bringing the family unit back together. So we want to provide things the whole family can watch together. And enjoy. You know, I just saw a movie recently called The Greatest Showman, you know, with Hugh Jackman. Have you seen that movie, Simon?
I have, and of course, it got a couple of Oscar nominations this year, including for one of their key songs, which is played all over the place.
Exactly. It was a huge success. And when I saw that movie, I realized, okay, you can make a family-friendly movie with big budget, big stars, high quality, that is family-friendly, that will resonate with audiences. It doesn't have to be dark. It doesn't have to be shocking. It doesn't have to be something that you have to cover your kids' eyes for. In fact, if you watch my Kickstarter video, during the video, the parents cover the kids' eyes because all these things are coming on TV and they don't want them to see them. And, you know, I want to be able to have families watch stuff together and not be embarrassed about it. Or I want them to be able, I want to make stories that are so moving and so uplifting that you talk about it the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you started to talk to advertisers about having them support you with advertising or sponsorships?
We are absolutely talking to people and having some great conversations, and it's very early in that stage right now. We're gonna offer O Access with ads for a certain price and without ads for another price, and we're still working on pricing. But again, we're gonna be competitive with our pricing as well.
Butch Hartman from the Fairly Odd Parents and from the new programming service O Access Entertainment is our guest for this first half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon in June of 2018. Delighted you're aboard wherever you're catching us live on Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker or on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You have a question or a comment for Butch, got a few more minutes with him, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 90-minute episode coming your way on Friday, and we kick it off with James LaRosa. He is the creator and executive producer of Hit the Floor, the dance drama that after three seasons on VH1 and a long stretch between seasons, it's coming back July 10th, but this time on BET. And then the Oscar-winning writer from Breaking Bad, Mariah Wally Becker, will join us. Her last TV major effort was Flesh and Bone. That was the Golden Globe-nominated series on Starz. And now she is in her second season of the Netflix series Anne with an E, based on the very famous book series Anne of Green Gables, that's been made into many, many movies, and at one point it was a Disney Channel television series, Anne of Avonlea. Mariah Wally Beckett will be with us to talk Anne with an E and the state of television as well. And finally, we will have the executive producers of a new series that premiered last night on Sinclair-owned television stations that are affiliated with the CW and My Network TV across the country. It's called The Look All-Stars, hosted by Tori Spelling. It's the new beauty makeover series with some very interesting twists. We'll have at least one, maybe more, executive producers on our program. It's a 90-minute edition to wrap up June, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What do you think was the most important thing that came out for you about doing The Fairly Odd Parents for Nickelodeon? And why do you think that series lasted so long and became such a mammoth success?
Yeah, I think one of the big things, Simon, was the fact we had amazing characters, amazing writing, and it was a show about a family. It was a show about a little boy with two fairy godparents, and they became a family throughout the adventures. And I think, you know, I think we made it funny. We made it endearing. I always push the writing. We're going to push writing on O Access. You know, at the beginning of the Laxes, we might not be able to make, you know, $85 billion budget movies, but I can make great movies with great characters that don't cost a lot of money and that people will love just as much, you know. And our shows are not going to be all rainbows and bunnies. I mean, that's not what our Laxes is about. We're going to make, you know, because every story has to have a conflict. We're going to have conflicts in our stories, but they'll always, you know, you're always going to feel good after you watch a show because you're going to see heroes win. You're going to see families that come together. You're going to see a positive outlook on life, and that's what we want to get out there more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Aside from Fairly Odd, is there a particular series that you're most proud of, or a particular character you developed? Because you've had a very long and great career. You did a number of things for Park 2 Network before you came to Nickelodeon. You did early episodes of such classics as, or modern classics as, Dexter's Laboratory, Cow and Chicken, et cetera, et cetera. Any, you know, particular creation that you're most proud of apart from Fairly Odd?
Yeah, I really love, well, I love Fairly Odd Parents, obviously, but I really love Danny Phantom as my other show that I created that seems to have, it's interesting, it didn't run as long as Fairly Odd Parents, but it's got a much bigger cult following, I guess you could say. It's such a beloved show in many ways. I love Danny Phantom because I'm a superhero freak, and Danny Phantom is a superhero. And so I got to do a show about a superhero, and just the characters, the stories, the adventures we had in that show were just a blast. And I got to make that during the time I was making Fairly Odd Parents. I was making two shows at a time, which is very, very tricky to do. You can definitely do it. I encourage everybody out there to give it a try. But it was so much fun. But just the love that show is still garnering from fans all over the world right now is great. And also, you know, both shows, Fairly Odd Parents and Danny Phantom, they were shows that kind of included everybody across the board. Everybody could watch those shows, relate to it. I would get people, I would get parents and kids both saying how much they love Fairly Odd Parents. Because the parents would go, I love it too. I mean, it's great for the kids, but I find myself laughing as well. That's what Oaxus is going to do. We're gonna take what I've learned from that experience in Nickelodeon and put it into this new network now. Everyone's going to be included. I mean, the parents will get entertained. The kids will get entertained. It depends on their age. We have all age brackets we're researching right now, from kids to millennials, to middle age, to older people, and we even want you know, the elderly, like my mother-in-law who's turning 80. We want everybody to be entertained, and I've got to reach out to a lot of people that are in entertainment right now. I've got to go out to producers, writers, financiers, and find these people, and we're doing it. We're excited about this. This is part of the adventure.
With so many, by the way, production companies that are now being formed, and with so many ways to get shows on the air, like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access and Apple getting in, and Disney next year with their sort of Netflix rival that is out to also be family-friendly, what do you think of this whole marketplace of programming these days, where someone like you can make a Oaxus happen?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. It's certainly not for everybody. I mean, it's definitely a large market, but I think if you have the right product, people will find you. If we make something great, it doesn't matter how big we are. I think if we make something great and the message is great and our intent behind it is great, people will find us, and then that will grow us. And again, I'm going to quote Walt Disney. You know, Walt Disney said, "We don't make movies to make money. We make money so we can make more movies." And that's what I want to do. I need to make finances so I can keep making content that everybody can enjoy. Because I want to give people a place they can go where they can go with their whole family. And that's what we're all about.
And let's also be clear that Walt Disney was the first major animator to really do original stuff for television with his long-running series Disneyland, which became The Wonderful World of Color. He was a believer in television and what it could do to expand both the animation and the family programming art form all along. And he certainly had his idea really flower and flower very big. If everything works out, by the way, when will we start seeing Oaxus happen?
It'll probably come out about a year from now. July 2019 is our intended launch date, and we're very excited about that. And I know we're getting into a situation where we're going to have a lot of stuff to do and a lot of shows to do, plus building the platform, which we're already doing. We have a prototype now. We're aiming for a year from now, July 2019, we'll start seeing things, and we'll be advertising before that, but we're very, very excited.
Oaxus Entertainment Kickstarter campaign underway through the middle of next month. If you would like to participate it with any dollar level you like, here's where you go, www.kickstarter.com. It's www.kickstarter.com. www.butchhartman.com. And once again, the idea is for All Access Entertainment, led by Butch Hartman, to premiere in all sorts of ways next July 2019. Butch, thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate it. I've been a big fan of your work for a long, long time, Fairly Odd Parents included. Congratulations on the great run that show had on Nickelodeon. And we would love to stay in touch with you. And when you're ready to launch and all the ducks are in a row, we'd love to have you back. And we'd like to have some of your fellow creators on as well to get you off to a great start.
Sounds great, Simon. Thanks so much for the opportunity today, and I look forward to it. Thanks for encouraging the Kickstarter, guys. We got 22 days to go, so if you guys can support us, we'd love it. And we'll be back, and we'll talk to you about the success and about whenever we're ready to go. We'll let you know.
All right, you got it, Butch. Take care. All the greatest to you and everybody.
Thanks so much, Simon.
You got it. Take care. Butch Hartman joining us live from California on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Our classic trivia question of the week, and Oscar winner Bobby Moresco in our next half hour. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. A few months ago, we had the noted commentator Michael Eric Dyson on this program when he was doing a series for Sinclair, daily series in syndication, called The Raw Word. Well, while we wait to see if that show will become a nationally syndicated show in times ahead, Mr. Dyson has come up with a brand new book called What Truth Sounds Like, and you can hear it for yourself if you get a trial run at Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information and inspiration as well. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 30-day trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And by the way, that book that I talked about with Michael Eric Dyson, he narrates. In addition, you can not only get great audiobooks from Audible, you can also get original radio productions and podcasts as well. The entire galaxy of sound available to you. So hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial, free audiobook, and much more, audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Nobody got our answer this past 7 days, so nobody got our special prizes, the National Geographic Frankenstein paperback, as well as the Shark Week 30 magnet set. So let's give you the answer to that question. It was, who played MacGyver's boss on the original MacGyver? Who played MacGyver's boss on the original MacGyver? That's the series with Richard E. Anderson on ABC back in the 1980s. The answer, the late great character actor Dana Elkar. Dana Elkar was the answer to last week's classic trivia question. Now for this week. A few weeks ago, we had a love boat question, so we thought we'd like to do something nautical again. Back in the late 1950s, one of the most popular comedies of that era was The Gale Storm Show. Starred Gale Storm of My Little Margie fame as Susanna Pomeroy, the hospitality director who would always get into trouble en route to all sorts of ports of call on a wonderful ship. Roy Roberts played her boss, and Zazu Pitts, one of the great silent movie and early sound short stars, played her traveling companion. She won an Emmy nomination, by the way, for that role as Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress in a comedy. Here's the question. Name the ship on the Gale Storm Show. Name the ship on the Gale Storm Show. We want the exact answer. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, you enclose your name and your full name address. So if you're the winner, you will get those prizes out to you. Once again, our prizes this week are the Shark Week 30 magnet set provided by Discovery, Inc., and National Geographic's paperback version of Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. Shelley is going to be the role that will be showcased on the third season next year of the Emmy-nominated series Genius. We'll find out if the current series, with Antonio Banderas playing Pablo Picasso, will be up for some Emmys of its own. Once again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you just missed the question, well, if we can't repeat it before the end of the show, we will post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and also my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So be in it and win it, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised, the program all about the tube. We're getting ready to wrap up our 11th year on the air. We're coming at you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, also presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you want to check us out that way, you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click it, and you're in. First of three episodes we're doing this week. Again, coming up on our next episode Wednesday at this very hour, Mark Summers, the original host of Double Dare, and on the new version, which premieres tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on Nickelodeon. He's executive producer, and he's also a color commentator. And he will be with us live first thing on Wednesday. And also on Wednesday, live from Australia, we'll have the proprietor of the new smart TV set and device service, Vizversity, rescheduled from last Friday, Dale Beaumont. Then, coming up on Friday's episode, 90-minute edition, we kick it off with James LaRosa, the creator and executive producer of the popular dance drama, Hit the Floor, which is after three seasons on VH1, is moving July 10th on BET. And then, the Emmy Award winner, writing an episode, The Breaking Bad, Mariah Wally-Beck will be with us. You also may remember her from the Flesh and Bone miniseries about ballet that was shot here in New York for Starz. Wonderful performer Sarah Hay got a Golden Globe nomination, a Critics' Choice nomination for her starring role in that. She was also featured in one of the episodes last year of the acclaimed late-night series on HBO, Room 104, from the Duplass Brothers. So Mariah will be with us. Her new series is in its second season on Netflix. It's Anne with an E, based on the Anne of Green Gables novels. And finally, we'll have executive producers from the new Sinclair distributed series, The Look All-Stars, that premiered last night on selected affiliates around the country of the CW and My Network. It's all coming up Wednesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Coming up, more of our program, including a special exclusive interview with the Oscar-winning writer, producer-director Bobby Moresco, now involved with 100 Code on WG America. We will get to him after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Kings in the Morning. Check out the talk, music, and much more with Jay King and crew every weekday, including tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Kings in the Morning, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, we're simulcast on Spreaker. Together, Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker reach over 30 million listeners around the world every month. And don't forget, you can get the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. When we come back, we talk 100 Code, which is on tomorrow night on WG in America, with the Oscar-winning writer-producer Bobby Moresco. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a slight pause, bring Bobby on, and we will be right back. And welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 79 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Close to a decade and a half ago, our next guest came out with one of the most controversial and most unique films in recent history, a film called Crash that ignited a conversation about racism and gave us a galaxy of stars, including some new faces like Sandy Newton. The film went on to win 6 Academy Award nominations, and it won 3, including, for some people a very big surprise, Best Picture of the Year. My next guest won the Academy Award that year as co-writer with Paul Haggis of Crash's screenplay for Best Original Screenplay. Now he's involved as developer, executive producer, and director of the new WG in America crime drama, now in its second month on the air, 100 Code, which you can catch tomorrow night with 2 episodes back-to-back at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live in New York in an internet radio exclusive, Oscar winner Bobby Moresco. Bobby, it is a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it, Simon. I'm happy to be here.
How'd you get involved with 100 Code? What spiked your interest in doing a crime drama?
You know, I was sent a book by my good friend Larry Bexy, who represents novelists, among others, and Ken Bruin was the writer, and he asked me if I was interested in writing a movie from the book, and it's brilliant. Ken Bruin is one of our great writers, noir writers, and I read the book, and I didn't think it would make a great movie, but I wanted to use the character in the book, Merrick, which was the title of the book. I asked if they would let me create a television show around the title character. They agreed. We worked out a deal, and we sold the show. I thought it would be a tremendous
And how's the show doing? You're now in month number 2 on WG in America. What's been the audience reaction?
Say it again.
Well, the 100 Code is now in its second month on WGN America. Started last month, now in month number 2. How has it been going? How has the audience reaction been?
I think it's been great. The audiences seem to really love the show. You know, it's the kind of show that people want to watch, I think, because number one, you're biting your fingernails trying to find out what happens, I think. But more importantly, I think it's a piece of it that's about something. I think it's a, you know, like the movies that you mentioned earlier, like Crash, which is about something. I think this show is about something. And what's underneath the search for a serial killer and to stop the killing is the idea of an anonymity in today's world. You know, the dark web, the internet. There's a lot of great things about the internet, but there's a lot of bad things about it. And this is a show that explores the bad things about it, the things that can go haywire and create real chaos in the world. And I think people sense that. I think we live in a world where people are worried about what's next. So I think this show explores that.
Is there anything about the dark web or the internet in general that you wanted to say loud and clear through 100 Code?
100%. I'm hoping I say it in the show, but I'll say it right here. It's about an anonymity, man. It's, you know, when you get on your computer at 2 in the morning or 4 in the morning or 8 in the morning, it doesn't matter. There's nobody between what your thoughts are and what you want to put out there. There's nothing between that. There's no face to look at and say, wait a minute, that's another human being I'm talking to. Or wait a minute, that's another human being I'm dealing with. It's just a screen, and people lose any sense of responsibility. People lose any sense of civility. People lose any sense of what makes us human when you're just dealing with a screen as opposed to another human being. And that's really dangerous. Doesn't mean the internet's all bad, but it means that that aspect of it, when you forget that what you're dealing with on the other side of that screen are more human beings, that's really dangerous. It goes haywire. And I want to say that loud and clear, and I hope in this show says it.
Want to welcome guest 593 along with 575 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You have a question or comment for our guest, put in the room or give us the call, 646-652-2906. Sooner you do, sooner we respond to you. Bobby, you worked on this series with Dominic Monaghan. He is one of those actors that no matter where you see him, and we've seen him both in on-camera roles, but we've also seen him in nonfiction programming with his series Wild Things, which I believe was on BBC America, on other places as well. What's it been like working with him? What fascinates you as working with him as an actor?
Well, Dominic's great. Dominic's the kind of guy who shows up for work every day. He's a yeoman like I am. He's in this business for life. He's not in it for the glamour. He's in it to create some really cool stuff while you're working together. He makes life easy when you work with a guy like Dominic. You know, he's creative, he's smart, and he's responsible. And all those things lead to a good working atmosphere. You know, you want to work with pros. Genius is a really cool thing, and you'll deal with that whenever you need to because they'll bring you something special. But the rest of us, 99.9% of us, you know, we go to work. We learn our craft. We do as well as we can, and we go to work. And Dominic's one of those guys who shows up to go to work and brings what he has to the game. So I love working with Dominic. He's a really, really good guy and a smart guy, and he's filled with interest to take him all over the world. And like that other show you just spoke about, Wild Things.
This program also serves as a memorial in a way to the co-star of this series, Michael Nyquist, someone who a lot of people don't know about. What was it like to work with him, and what do you hope people get from his character and from his performance?
Well, that's an easy answer. They sense the humanity that Michael held. Michael was not only a beautiful, beautiful human being. He's a brilliant actor, you know, one of those actors who rise above the rest of us. But Michael was always filled with a humanity that just touched your soul, no matter what he did. He could be in a fight with somebody, and you're looking at him, and you're saying, oh, wow, that guy cares. He just brings it in a way that is indefinable. You know, anything you've ever looked at, Michael played villains in some of his last movies, like John Wick. He's always got a sense of feeling that you recognize as human, even if it's a bad feeling. You know, and that's a very unique thing for an actor. So I miss him as a human being, but I miss him as an artist as well. There's not a scene he's ever in that he's not right there, and he's always human. He's never paper cut. So, yeah, he was a beautiful man.
For sure. You are hearing an Inner Radio exclusive interview live with Bobby Moresco. A decade and a half ago, he won the Oscar with Paul Haggis for Best Original Screenplay for the movie Crash, which won 6 nominations and 3 awards, including the Best Picture of that year. His current work is 100 Code, now in its second month as one of WGN America's original crime dramas. You can catch two episodes of the show as it starts its second month tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Bobby joins us here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from the Big Apple, simulcasting to you on Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker and on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Bobby, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We also have our chat room in business. A few people in the room already. Simon Applebaum, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. Don't forget, this is the first of three episodes we are doing this week. We have a great lineup of guests all week long. Next episode is Wednesday at this very hour, and our lead guest will be, he's going to be in action tonight at 8 o'clock as guest commentator and executive producer of the new revival of Double Dare on Nickelodeon. The one and only Mark Summers will be our lead guest. He'll be with us live first thing on Wednesday afternoon. And then live from Australia, we will go and hear Dale Beaumont. He is the creator and originator of BizVersity. It's one of the newest programming services you can find on smart TV sets and smart TV next devices. At the beginning, Apple TV, but others as well coming soon. Take us through the thought process, Bobby, of adapting this book into a television series. What goes first, what goes second, and how does it all get fleshed out into what we see on the screen?
Well, that's interesting. It's a great question. You know, when somebody sends you a book, the first thing you look at is whether or not it's going to make a good movie. And that means, can you take the characters, can you take the ideas, can you take a semblance of some of the scenes and put it into a two-hour movie that's going to be compelling and hopefully about something besides having a nice piece of narrative and a beginning, middle, and an end that catches an audience and keeps them there. That's the first thing you look for. And as I said, in Merrick, I wasn't sure that we could do that, but it was very clear to me that Merrick, the character that eventually became Mikael Nyquist's character called Eklund, he was a character that you could hang with. And what I mean by that, the big difference between a television show and a movie is in a television show, you got to last 12 hours, right? Sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, but usually 12 hours you have to last. That means you want to spend 12 hours with that character. So does your characters, do your characters have a 12-hour lifespan, at least for the first year? That means they have to be complex. That means they have to have a history. That means they have to have needs that are complex and contradicting, and you drive into all of that stuff. And you have the time to do that with a television show. You don't always have the time to do that with a movie. So, even though the first thing you look at in a movie is usually the story, then theme, then characters, with a television show, the first thing you look at is your characters. Do they have the complexities and the contradictions in their nature that'll carry for 12 episodes? And I felt like Merrick's character did, which became, like I said, Eklund for Mikael Nyquist to play. That's the beginning. That's the process. Then you create characters around him that you can explore for 12 hours within that first season and hopefully carry on for seasons beyond that. We all want to, you know, have a show that lasts. So it's all about the characters. You dive into those complexities and that will they keep the show driving. That make sense?
Mm-hmm. Bobby, how do you work on a program like this with so many executive producers, senior producers, and producers? How do you break? Because you've been on all sides. You've been writing, you produce, and in this series you're directing as well. You have so many executive producers, so much of a – it's like a cast of characters all unto itself. How do you work in that environment? How do you make sure that not only do you get your best work out, but you get everybody's best juices going?
Well, I mean, the first answer to that is that it's a collaborative process. All filmmaking is a collaborative process, and that includes television in its many forms. So if you don't want to work in the collaborative process, then go write a book, go paint, you know, go write poetry, which I love all those things, but I'm not any good at any of them. So I'm stuck with TV and movies. So you accept the collaborative process if you're smart, and you accept that people are going to have things to say that might help this idea that you put forth. And that's the main thing, the idea that you put forth. And the way you work it is, number one, you establish what the idea is. What's the show that you're doing? If everybody's on the same page with the show or the movie that you're doing, the big idea of what the show is, then you can differentiate real clearly with what helps the show you're doing and what is some other show. And that's the key. If somebody says something that helps the show you're doing, or the movie you're making, then you listen to it and you try to make it work. If it's helpful. If it's some other show, you know, and lots of times executive producers, actors will give you a note that has nothing to do with the show you're doing. It'll have to do with some other idea, or it'll have to do with just their character if they're an actor and not the show. Those are things that are bad. You don't listen to those. And then the next thing you do, look, in filmmaking, when you're the director, you're the creative force behind the piece, and you have to have the final say. You have to be smart enough to listen to good ideas, but you have to have the final say because it's not a democracy. You know, you're making a movie and it's a democracy, you're going to wind up with a mess. So somebody has to have the final say. And in movies, it's the director. In television, it's the executive producer slash creator. In this case, that's me. So somebody has to have the final say. The networks, if they're smart, they will give you really good ideas with which you can then turn around and make it a part of the show that you want to make, the show that you showed, the show that you all agreed to make. If you're not smart, you will try to take all of the things that these people are giving you and make it into a, I don't know what it becomes, and it makes a, you know, pot of potatoes with a lot of different red onions. And it has nothing to do with the show you sold. You know, if you all agree to make something together, the one person who has to take all of the notes from everyone, and including the costume designer, the makeup designer, you know, the production designer, the cinematographer. If you hired really good people, and that's your job, to hire good people, people who are smarter than you at their craft, you take it all in, and then you filter it through the idea that you agreed to do. That's the key, and the showrunner or the director has to be smart enough and strong enough to differentiate between the idea that helps the show and the idea that doesn't. That's how I think you do it. That makes sense?
Yeah. And let's take that one step further, because we're in this incredible era right now of what I call plentiful television. I hate the term peak TV. Plentiful TV seems more like it, both with scripted and unscripted. 500-plus scripted shows, all sorts of people doing shows, all sorts of production companies, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, broadcast, cable, multicast, and so on. What do you think about the fact that we are getting so much quality TV that whatever the extent of the collaborative process you describe, There are more shows than ever that seem to have their own vision that comes across to viewers so intact, whether it's your show or Mr. Robot or the revival of One Day at a Time or Dear White People or She's Gotta Have It or Glow or Orange the New Black. It just seems that more shows than ever have a specific vision that no matter how many people collaborate on all different levels, the vision gets through to the viewer.
I think that's the way it needs to be done. I think that there is no show worth its salt without a singular vision that is served by everyone involved in the collaborative process. I don't think there's another way to do a show, any show. I've never seen it done well. You know, early on, I worked on a series called Millennium early in my career that Chris Carter created after he did The X-Files. That's the only other show I ever did that I worked for someone else besides being executive producer. And Chris had the same process. You know, that was Chris's show, and everybody served Chris's idea. That's how The X-Files was created, and that's how Millennium was created. And that's my only experience being outside of working with something I created or co-created. But I'm sure that that's the only way a good show gets done. I'm sure that's the only way a good movie gets done. I don't know any other way to do it. I'd like to hear from somebody who says there is. And keep in mind, I'm not saying you don't listen to anyone else. You listen to everyone. But you need to differentiate between the good note that serves the show you all agreed to make and the bad note that serves some other show or some other idea or some other character. That's the big key, to hear everything and differentiate what helps. That make sense?
Yeah. 100 Code. It's the new WG American crime drama, now in its second month. And that second month kicks off with two episodes back-to-back tomorrow night starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Bobby Maresco is the developer, one of the executive producers, and an episode director as well. The Oscar winner for Best Original Screenplay with Paul Haggis for Crash a decade and a half ago. And he's with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised from New Weber, York. Simon Applebaum with you live also from the Big Apple. Delighted that you are with us. If you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with Bobby Maresco, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed as well, here's the simple thing. Go to our homepage anytime you like. We make it so easy for you. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. We're also available in podcast form at iTunes, the Apple TV iTunes podcast app, the Spreaker podcast radio app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, which you can find at www.iheartradio.com. All that's available 24/7. And, by the way, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Bobby, when you did crash 15 years ago, we didn't have as many outlets to get original programming on the air. And now we have Netflix, we have Hulu, we have Amazon, we have multicast networks, we have CBS All Access, we have a new class of television services like what Butch Hartman is trying to do with O-Access Entertainment. Coming up, we have Apple, we have Disney with a Netflix type of service. We're hearing some other things in the pipeline, but who wants to get in? What do you think about this carnival of new ways to get a TV program on the air and in this whole television environment?
Well, that's a great question, and my answer is really simple. What's the one thing that all of those different venues have in common? A good story. They're all looking for a way to tell a good story. Now, you find 1,000 different ways to tell a good story, but they're all looking for a way to tell a good story, a story that will attract an audience, with a main character at the center of the storytelling who's compelling, or main characters. So for me, if there's a venue to get the next good story told, I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. You know, people put their nose up and say, well, that network only does bad things. You know what they're doing? They're telling stories that people want to hear. They're paying actors, writers, and directors to tell their stories. Anybody who's against that, I don't get it. If you're complaining that somebody else is getting the job and not you, don't look at them. Look at you. What are you doing wrong that you can't get your show on the air? Believe me, I struggle like everyone else, to get my shows on the air. But you have to take responsibility for that. You can't say that there's all these venues out there and you can't get somebody to watch your show. That's your responsibility. That's the responsibility of your partners, which is the network and which is the studios. And they got to do their job as you got to do yours. And if you get an audience, great. We were lucky with Crash, but boy, we had a hard time making that movie. You know, it didn't get done the day after we finished the script. Paul and I think it took us 2 years before we got the financing. And then Million Dollar Baby, which we did before, we wrote Million Dollar Baby before Crash, it took even longer. We didn't get the money for Million Dollar Baby until after Crash. So everything takes forever. And if there are actors and writers out there who are looking to get done, my advice to you would be, once you finish something and you're out there selling it, don't wait for the buyer. Write your next piece. Get your next piece going, because, you know, you've got to have more than one trick in your bag if you want to make it in this business. This is a tough, tough business, and it's not for the faint of heart, you know. What I say to all those people out there who are complaining about all these different venues, that you're crazy. Those venues are paying actors, writers, and directors to go to work, and we should all thank God for it.
Bobby, when you and Paul Haggis did Crash, you ignited a dialogue about racism that was very frank and had really not been done, not been covered, whatever your beliefs you have before. And here we are nearly 15 years later, and on television you have shows like Atlanta or Issa Rae's Insecure or Dear White People or On My Block or The Chi from Lena Waithe on Showtime. She's Got to Have It from Spike Lee. You have so many shows that now deal one way or another on a regular basis with the subject of racism, or how we as people in this country, in a culture that's becoming more multicultural and more multiracial by the year. What do you think about that? Do you think in a way that we've come a long way because you and Paul ignited that with Crash, and now other people have, whether it's been Donald Glover or Spike Lee or Lena Waithe, whatever, picked up the ball and in their own way sort of brought their own dialogue the table?
Well, we'd be filled with an immense amount of hubris if we took credit for anybody else doing anything. What I will say, though, is that, you know, Paul and I took inspiration from things that went before us, and if somebody after us took some inspiration from what we did and it helped, when great, good luck, God bless, and happy to help. But you know, so I don't think we can take credit for anything that anybody else does. But we as artists, we all borrow from each other. We all do. You know, there's the old famous thing, there's only seven stories. Well, there's not many more than that if there are. The trick is, as an artist, to find some story that's been done before, and then to bring your unique humanity, your unique artistry to something and make it different. That's the trick. Whether or not Crash had some effect out there, I guess it would have to be. In fact, we've received the idea from somebody to turn it into a book, which that's been done. We've received questions about getting it done as a Broadway show. As you know, it was also made into a television series. So it had wide appeal. But look at universities all over the world have asked us if they can make it into a course to examine the question of race. So it speaks to it in a way that people get and understand, and it provokes conversation. And anytime any piece of art provokes conversation, it's a good thing. So I think Crash does that. I've been asked to go speak at universities and high schools all over the country over the last 10 or 15. I think it's been 13 years since the movie was done, so the last 13 years. So, yeah, it has some effect in anything, any piece of art. Go ahead.
Bobby, we have about a minute. What's your next story? Another season of 100 Code, doing a new TV project. What's next for you?
Well, hopefully 100 Code will get a second season. It's a terrific show. Audience seem to like it, and I hope that happens. We haven't heard yet. I've written a movie about Lamborghini, the legendary car maker, and we're shooting it now. I'm directing it. We've got some wonderful, wonderful actors, including Alec Baldwin and Antonio Banderas and Maria Grazia Cucinati. We're shooting in Rome. I'll finish shooting it at the end of December of this year. I've got a movie I wrote and directed out on cable now. It's called Bent, B-E-N-T, with Sofia Vergara and Carl Urban, who I just love, and the great Andy Garcia. I hope people go watch that movie. And Lamborghini will finish up in December, and then I'm doing a comedy for the first time in the beginning of next year when I finish Lamborghini.
And by the way, the Lamborghini movie, we talked about it on our show a few weeks ago, that's one that's being funded with cryptocurrency and blockchain by LibTree Adept, one of the various ventures trying to get new original content, both film and television, on the air through blockchain and cryptocurrency. So we'll keep an eye on that movie. So I have a hunch we will talk to you about that not too far down the road, Bobby. Again, 100 Code, new episode, two of them back-to-back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on WGN America. Check your locals for where that service is available on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, www.wgnamerica.com. It's www.wgnamerica.com. Bobby Maresco, thank you very, very much for making a great half hour happen. All the best to you, your cast and crew, on more 100 Code, more seasons to come, hopefully. And we'd love to have you back anytime you like. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Simon, you're terrific. And thanks to everybody out there listening. Thanks so much, Simon.
You're very, very welcome, Bobby. Take care. All the greatest to you.
Well, bye-bye.
Bobby Maresco, Oscar-winning writer, producer of Crash, and now developer, executive producer, and director of 100 Code, tomorrow night, WGN America, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And that's our first of three episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised this week. Thanks to both Bobby and Butch Hartman for being with us the first half hour. Don't forget, coming up on Wednesday, Mark Summers from Double Dare, and live from Australia, Dale Beaumont from the new service, Bizversity, which you can see on Apple TV. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogs.com/televised. If you'd like to comment on today's program, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. We want to hear from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Ms. Williams. AnyToes Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Stomper, executive content producer, the co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised, brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back in near 48 hours, Wednesday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.